you beautiful and amazing hockey people out there in the hockey universe. This is Jeff coming to you from What the Puck, brought to you by Game On, a sports podcast for everyone. I have another special guest here on Hockey Tea Time Chat, just recently picked up by Team GB as the goalie coach, former goalie for Peterborough Phantoms, as well as a couple of other teams within the system. But before I get him on the show and bring him on in, I want to give a loud shout out to the boys over in Bracknell, England, Mike and Paul at Forecheck Clothing Company. You can find them on Instagram at Forecheck_clothing. You can find them on Facebook at Forecheck Clothing, and you can also find them at www.co, or my apologies, www.forecheck.co.uk. They got some really great product out there, some premier top-of-the-line items, or how I like to say, hockey swagger off the ice. They're working with a couple of other things too, so keep your eyes out for that. Now, on to our other sponsor. If you're a gym guy like me and looking for some new stuff to kind of like get into the gym, get that pump going, looking for a dietary supplements or even that early morning wake up whey protein style protein shake, make sure you check out eFlow Nutrition. You can find them on all sources of social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, as well as online. You can find them online at www.eflownutrition.com. And as far as social media, just type them in, type in eFlow Nutrition in the search engines, and all of them will pop right up. Also, if you're listening today, make sure you use the promo code WTP explanation point 2021, and that'll get you a great saving on your orders. So, now that that's all out of the way, I want to introduce you all to our guest for today. Many of you, I hope you have heard of him. Great goaltender, has his own schooling that we'll get into in a little bit. And again, like I said recently, he just got picked up by Team GB as their goalie coach. Doesn't matter what country you come from, when you get picked up by your national team, that's any kind of honor. So I want to introduce you all to Ewan King. How you doing, mate?
Hey Jeff, how you doing?
Good. So you just got off the ice not too long ago.
Yeah, I guess we're in lockdown here, obviously. So getting on the ice is a little bit hard at the moment. Luckily, I'm still able to skate sort of every week with a few goalies that I can work with still. But yeah, we had a good run from August till December, and then obviously COVID hit again, and UK went back into lockdown. And unfortunately, we're not part of the streaming series with the Phantoms, so we can't be involved with that. But it's good to see. I think there's five goalies playing in the series that skated with me for about 4 months with the suspended season. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they get on. And I watched Jordan the other night play for Swindon, and I was really pleased with the way he played. And he had a tough 5 minutes to start with. I remember sitting at home thinking, okay, I wonder how this is going to go. But I was really proud of the way he battled through that, and I thought he was playing unbelievable the rest of the game. So hats off to him.
Oh, exactly. Even though not a lot of people are aware of the Spring Cup coming up over here across the pond, I just got done recording part of my podcast for this week, and then I'm going to be uploading. But I did bring up the NIHL and about how the little bit of the struggle, and now that they're actually doing it, I'm going to try to recap the games as best as I can. I'm not really going into details, but like just mentioning the teams that are playing, the scores, the goalies, who's playing, and if I'm correct, Jordan played what Sunday, right? Or was that a
Yeah,
front?
Rennie played Saturday. I think they lost, was it 5-4, I think, and then Jordan was Sunday in Sheffield. So yeah, I don't know how they're going to work it for the 2 weeks that Jordan's there, but I was pleased for him to be in the net, because Jordan's probably as big a hockey geek and goalie geek as myself. So it was good to see him playing.
Oh, most definitely, definitely. So I'm going to jump right into the first question now that basically we've already gotten into the Spring Cup and everything, and a lot of Americans are still unaware of the hockey leagues over in the UK. But I've had the privilege of chatting with a couple goalies in the likes of Adam Long, Guinness Ozens, who I've had a good few seasons working with as being being part of the Phantoms organization, not just as a team member, because I was kind of like the extra pylon on the ice every now and then during the Phantoms training, but I also got to know him on a personal basis as a just that personality in the locker room every now and then. How would you explain the differences, especially being a goalie, whether you've played abroad, growing up in the systems in the UK, going over to Europe, or even across the pond here in the US or Canada? How would you explain the game itself, playing goaltending, and then just kind of like everything else?
We play the same game as everybody else. It's still on ice. It still has 10 players, two goalies, three refs or four refs. The game is very much North American style, I think, here, more than the European style. The UK hockey fan likes the crash bang. They like the rough stuff. I guess the Elite League now for me is probably, I think it was Ryan Finnerty said recently that in Europe, it's probably top of the tier two leagues. So behind obviously tier one with Sweden, Finland, Switzerland, those sort of leagues, but the Elite League's a really good league now. In fact, you look at two of the goalies that played in the Elite League last year. Kevin Carr's just signed for Colorado in the American League on a two-way, and CJ Mott is in Bridgeport, I think it is.
Okay.
So we get a high standard of players over here now, which is really good. The British game, I think, is we might not be as skilled as some other nations. We might not be as seen as that. But one thing I think we have that British mentality that's quite tough and gritty and battle through. And it's what sort of makes us unique. Like you say, we're not really a traditional hockey country in that sense. But I think we use that to our advantage. People don't really expect a lot from us. So we have that sort of surprise factor. But I do think the game's getting stronger here. The junior players coming through are getting stronger. Going back sort of 20 years, I guess, when I was playing junior hockey, goalie coaching wasn't really a thing. Goalie coaching's only really become a thing in the last sort of probably 5-6 years here in the UK. As far as I'm aware, there's only Dan Brabham in Cardiff, myself in Peterborough, and Dave Clancy, who's just gone to Blackburn. We're the only three goalie coaches that work officially with senior teams. So it's changing for the better. We've got a long way to go, but it's looking positive.
Yeah. And I think one of the major impacts too is the whole transition to from the EPIHL when I was there, and being able to bring in those import goalies to switching over to the NIHL rules, and you only have what, allowed two or three imports?
It might surprise you to hear this, but I was against the banning of import goalies. Being a British goalie myself when I was playing, and obviously the stuff I do for the IHA with like technical director of goaltending and trying to increase the standard of goalies to bring in the UK, like I was always against banning import goalies, because who are you striving to be better than? Yeah. Like, if you are given a space because you're British, then you've got a sense of entitlement, and I don't think that's good for anybody. So I was never really against import goalies. It's sort of, for me, we had to be better and we had to produce better to basically take the spots back. On the flip side, yeah, it has been great that the NHL only has two imports, so we don't really have import goalies. But if I look at the league now, the likes of Rennie Mahr, Jordan Mahr, Dmitry Zamudra, these type of guys are more than good enough to be in the old EPL as starters. And they were in there anyway. So the main positive is you got the young guys coming through who are going to get more opportunities, like the Brad Windervanks in Romford and guys like that coming through. Luke Clark in Peterborough is another prospect for the future.
It's funny that you mentioned his name. I remember So when I was over in Peterborough, well, Millenhall, Lake and Heath area, it was from like 2012 to 2017. My first couple years there, I was kind of like only part of a couple things, but then I really got my name out there when Lee Elias stepped in and helped take over the Phantoms and bring them to where they were, along with Coach Kulikov and so many other great influences that came in. And I remember seeing Lou Clark as a youngster going all the way up through the system, and seeing him now to where he is, to where he was, is such an amazing accomplishment. And actually people looking at him now, I still remember one day I walked into the rink and he was struggling, taping his goalie stick. I'm like, Lou, give me your stick. You're making my eyes hurt just trying to watch you tape that goalie stick.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, to make me feel old, Luke used to have a hamster called Ewan when he was really young, when I was first got involved with the Phantoms. And now he's, I've coached him from when he first started in goal to now, and now he's on the ice with us for the Phantoms. I'm like, oh my God, I feel old. thanks for that, Luke. So no, a little shout out to Luke there. He's a good kid. Yeah. He's come a long way. He works hard, and hopefully he's going to be successful.
I know his father always used to take the piss out of me too at the rink. I mean, I'm like one of the only two or three people at the rink with an American accent. So, I mean, you know, I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Easy to be picked on.
Exactly. But unlike most people, I do have I wasn't born with a golden tongue, but a silver tongue, or no, hold on. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in hand, but a golden silver tongue I do have, is what I meant to say. So
you just put my mind in a pretzel with that, so it's okay.
but yeah, it's amazing to see folks like him come up, especially in the goalie system. When I was also there, Mr. Tudman's kid was also coming up through the system, which I think he's either in Sheffield or Nottingham now. I'm not sure.
I think Lewis stopped playing a couple of years ago, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He went to Nottingham, but I think he stopped playing a couple of years ago, yeah, which is a shame.
Yeah, he was a up-and-comer. I know I saw him from when he was little, and then a few other players out there that just – I mean, if there's any players that you remember coming out of the Peterborough system other than Lukey.
Yeah, to be fair, there's quite a few young goalies coming through now in Peterborough, which is really good. Like Vinny Graziano, he's been with the club for two or three years now. Vinny's come on a lot. You've got young Sasha Bravo coming through the system, who's good. You got little Joel Munro under nines, I think he is. He might have gone to under 11s. I feel like he's been under nines for about 10 years. But there's a good group of goalies coming through the system in Peterborough, which is exciting.
Yeah. And it's amazing that not just only Peterborough, but if correct, I know Sheffield has a new program now. Nottingham has the one program now. I'm not sure if any other teams are picking up on it and using it to their advantage with not just the NIHL teams, but the junior teams as well too, just to kind of like, I don't want to say prune, but just kind of like, they're
developing.
Yeah, developing. There we go. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great system. I know there's schools like yours as well as many others out there. On that. So I saw that you're with the Phantoms from 01 to 02, but have been with other teams throughout the league in your career. Is there any season once you started playing that really stuck out in ways that this was the best, this was the worst, this is a development season for me? I did good this season, but there's things I could improve on.
I guess my first experience with the Phantoms was being thrown in against Milton Keynes at 15. that was an interesting experience. And I think, is it a year later or 2 years later, I signed full time. Like the first couple of years was fun. I got to work with Greg Rockman, who I learned a lot from. Stephen Wall, again, learned a lot from Stephen. And then I guess when I moved to Romford, that was my first year as a starter in the EPL. And I didn't quite take it as seriously as I probably should have. I probably didn't prepare as well as I should have, and I ended up injuring my knee, and missed a lot of the year, to be fair. And then that was a big learning curve for me. How to be a professional, even if it's not your full-time job, but learning what you have to do. And then I pretty much fell out of love with the game. And I ended up signing in Chelmsford the following year in the league below. And I think I played maybe 5 games at the start of the year. And I just went to the rink one day and I was like, I just don't want to be here. So I then said, right, okay, I'm done. Stopped playing for, I think it was 2 years, 3 years. Enjoyed my time, was coaching and stuff like that. And I played in Maris Zeden's testimonial, actually. It was Z's testimonial. I blame him. And I sort of got the, like, oh, okay, like, actually, I quite enjoyed this. So I thought about it. I spoke to my wife and, like, okay, I had the knee surgery that summer to fix the problems with the knee. And I went back to Romford, I think it was, to start the season. And it was going great and stuff like that. And then Romford ran into money problems. And that was the year that Jason came back to the Phantoms.
Okay.
Nathan came back to the Phantoms. We all got released just after Christmas. And then I went to Chelmsford and I finished the year in Chelmsford and we won the quadruple. So it wasn't a bad thing that I got released from Romford.
Yeah.
But that was probably my favorite year, to be honest, because I sort of had no real pressure on me. I had no real pressure from myself. It was literally, I just wanted to see if I could still do it. And I only ever intended to play 1 year. I said to my wife, I'm just going to go back and play 1 year and then I'm going to stop again because it's a lot of commitment. And I think I ended up playing another 6 seasons after that. So that was probably my favorite year because it was sort of a chance to come back. And yeah. Then actually, although obviously I'd say that the last year as well, obviously I was in Romford, came back to Peterborough halfway through the season and I got to finish playing in Peterborough. Which to be honest, I never thought I'd get the chance to play in Peterborough again. And no matter what people say about the rink, about the Phantoms fans, about anything, like there's nothing like home.
Yeah.
And Peterborough will always be the club that I love. And so to finish playing for them was pretty special.
And I can 100% relate with you on that. Now, as far as you saying, yeah, I'm only going to play one season, it's like opening up a bag of Doritos and saying, yeah, I'm only going to eat one chip. It's
pretty much.
It's not going to happen. Before you know, the whole entire bag's gone. And you're like, well, shit.
I remember we were at the end of the season awards due that year. And I was talking to the coach and I came back and my wife was like, oh, what were you guys talking about? I'm like, oh, no, we were just having a chat. It's just seeing what they're up to for the summer. She's like, okay, if you're gonna play next year, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, I'm probably gonna play next year. But it's one of them things, like, but to be perfectly honest with you, like, now I do not have any desire to ever put on goalie equipment again. Like, people have said to me, like, you must miss it. I'm like, I genuinely don't.
Yeah.
I stand there and watch, like, in practice, and I'm like, sod that. Like, I don't want to be standing in front of that. That looks like it can hurt.
You know, it's funny because last year for me, I mean, I haven't stepped on the ice in a year and a half now, almost. CV-19 didn't help. And then just with everything that was going on in my life at the time, it was just so hard. And I know I've been invited back out, but it's like, I work at a gym. I get up at 3:30, quarter to 4 in the morning. I got to be at work by 4:30. And I get off at 1 in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like, all right, now I got to work out for a couple hours. So by the time my day ends, it's like, it already feels like midnight at 5:30 in the afternoon. So I miss it, but I think doing this and also the other side of the podcast and just creating the context, I miss it, but this kind of helps missing it. I can watch hockey. So, and then right now, if they have us go play, I think we have to wear face masks while we're playing, and that's absolute nonsense, in my opinion.
Nice.
So,
like you say, I think it's the connection still to the game, right? You're still watching, you can do this and talk and stuff like that.
Yep.
And to be honest, like, with the amount of stuff that happened when lockdown ended here and the rinks reopened, like I was quite busy with hockey stuff. Like I didn't really miss the games. I wasn't that fussed about it. I thought, you know what, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And then that November series happened. Yeah. I remember sitting there watching one of the games. I'm like, you know what, I really missed that. Like, and on game days, I sit up in the box and take some notes and watch the goalies and go back and feed back to Slava in between periods or whatever. So I don't really do a lot, but it's still, like, I was just saying, like, no, I miss that. Like it's strange. You know, so
it's kind of like me being a prior military and also being a really big sports guy and a hockey guy. It's like, we don't miss the playing the sport so much as we miss hanging out with the lads.
Absolutely.
And it's the banter between the boys and just, I mean, yeah, the on ice is fun, but it's like, all right, we won the game. We're going to go drink a few pints. We're going to shoot the shit with the fans and then we're going to go home, but we're going to be together.
Yeah.
And then at the, like, that's one thing I do miss is like just getting together with the boys or like with my military buddies, just getting together and doing that. Now it's just the opposite where I'm a long-haired hippie who tends to piss people off every now and then.
That's fair enough. As long as you're honest with it.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, it sounds like you miss the game, but at the same time, being around it kind of helps.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Like still being around it and being around the dressing room and stuff like that is fun. Like I was talking to someone recently, just about like things that I do, and they said, have I never thought about like going from team to team and basically being like a consultant for each team?
Yeah.
I don't think that's for me because I like the relationships you build with players and goalies and coaches. And I feel like if you're just going in and out of places all the time, you don't really build that relationship.
Yep.
And like you say, it's that team environment. They are your brothers for 8 months of the year. And
yep.
You know more about them than probably your own family for the season. So
exactly,
it's something that I just think it's unique to sport and military, like you say.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I do miss is like when we were talking about the fans in Peterborough. Again, me having the voice you can pinpoint in the middle of a crowded room. It's like your family. It doesn't matter who they are. It's like you get together, it's like having a big old party at the same time, and win or lose, they're up in the bar, they're drinking, they're hanging out with the boys. And then kind of like being that in between guy where yes, I'm in the locker room, but also I'm sitting in the stands too. It's kind of like, oh, so what's up with so-and-so? I'm like, I don't know. And now how they do it in the NHL, lower body injury.
Yeah.
Upper body injury. What part? Upper.
What is he? Day to day. He's just day to day.
Or now the CV-19 protocol. Because I hate saying the word. It's one thing I don't say anymore. It's like CV-19 protocol, huh? So he must have the flu. You know, it's so. But yeah, it's a great time. It's a great environment. And leading up to the next question. Now that you're out of the game as a physical player, you just recently took on a very, very important position for the nation of the United Nations. Wow, it's been a long day, and I only woke up a few hours ago. You took a very important role for Team GB as the goalie coach. How'd that come about?
So I guess it started after the World Championships the previous year, or the last World Championships that happened. Someone mentioned to me that they were going to be looking for someone for that position. And me not being very clever, didn't really clock on to what they were saying. And it wasn't until later on in the day that I figured out what they were saying. So after the laughs and jokes, they said, okay, put together a CV and send it in. So I did, didn't hear anything back for a few months, and then eventually got an email back. I think it was November time, asking for my availability for the Olympic qualifier. in February last year in Nottingham. Would I be available? So obviously I said yes. And it was sort of a, I guess, like a trial run to, for everybody to see if they were happy with me and I was happy with them, which there was no chance I wasn't going to be happy with them. Yeah. So yeah, I did the Olympic qualifier in Nottingham last February, just over a year ago now. And then, yeah, they said to me, okay, we'd like you to stay on, and be the goalie coach. So obviously I was meant to go to the Worlds last year, which obviously didn't happen. And obviously this year coming up is going to be pretty cool in Latvia. So I've sort of had the role now for about a year, but it's just never been formally announced because we haven't been doing anything. So, it's interesting. It's a lot of fun. Like I played with Bouncy myself. So that's interesting. I've known him for a long time. Jackson Whistle, who was the other goalie at the qualifier. Jackson and my dad played together in Bracknell, so there's a little bit of connection there. Pete Russell I played for.
Your dad's a good guy, by the way, just throwing it out.
Thank you. But yeah, like Pete is the coach. I played for Pete. Pete was my GB coach. So it's nerve-wracking at times because obviously I'm stepping into a completely different environment. But it's awesome nonetheless. So it's something that I'm very proud of. It's something that I didn't expect or anticipate happening this early. But it's an honor to be asked to get involved with your nation.
I think some people can relate with that. Like it's you grow up all the way through the school systems and then you graduate. And then when you turn of age to drink, you go into your first pub or over here in the States, when you turn 21, you go into the bar and there's your teacher. You're like, oh, hey, is that how it sometimes feels being around Russell or?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Because obviously he was my coach. So took a little bit of getting used to the first couple of days, but it's the same, right? You put your work boots on and you go off to work and that's the way it is. And it was a really good experience for me to be around those guys. Like I've learned a lot from Slava with the Phantoms, and then I got to see a completely different perspective of things with Pete and Adam Keefe. So it's good for me and my ways of learning new things and way different coaches work. And it's something that I really love. And I'm like I said earlier, I'm the biggest hockey geek you could probably find. So it's, I'm a bit of a sponge, I think, at times. I might be a bit annoying at times as well. Because I was like, what are they doing? Let's just see. Okay, that's interesting. Go take some notes there. So yeah.
I mean, I can again relate with that just because like last season, the 2019-2020 season, I live about 8 minutes from where the Hurricanes play. So before last season got canceled, during their training or even during their preseason, I'd go watch them train. And when it came to the goalies, I'd sit there and I'd watch the players shoot to see if I could actually see them shoot the puck. And then I'd watch how the goalie reacts. So I'd try to like break it down to like and that's what kind of stinks about going to games with me is I'll overanalyze everything.
Yeah.
And, like, people sit there and be like, shut up, just enjoy the game for a couple minutes. Why don't you? It's like, but yeah. And the next thing you know, that backhand comes from somebody. It doesn't even have to be your mate or anything. Just, you know,
well, if it makes me, I literally sit here in my office sometimes and I get an NHL game on the TV and it will take me about 4 hours to watch it. Cause I'm like, oh, what happened there? Just, okay. Why did they make that? Okay. They made that play. What did the goal? Honestly, like even my, like, a lot of good friends that I've made in hockey, like Ben Clements for one, is always like, you're such a geek. He's like, can you just switch off for a day? I'm like, I genuinely try to. But I think it's like a problem I've got.
So I don't know if you've noticed in the season this year, watching the NHL, but are players more telegraphic than they used to be? Because like when they're passing and they're shooting, it's almost like they're giving it away before they take the shot.
I don't know if they're more, whether it's the players, whether it's the goalies. I think the goalies now, they read the game so well, and not just the shot releases, but they anticipate the plays and they're sort of one step ahead of the players at times. I think like One of my mentor, well, my mentor is Jim Corsi, who is the development coach for Columbus. Used to be goalie coach in Buffalo and stuff like that. He's sort of, whether he intended to be my mentor or not is another question, but he is. And he was always, ever since I've met him, he's always said to me, like, being good, looking good technically is fantastic. But if you don't read the game and you don't understand the game and anticipate the game, you're going to look really good letting in goals.
Yeah.
Because the game is so quick now, you've got to be able to anticipate, like, and identify, actually, that player on the half wall there isn't really the danger. It's that guy coming in the back post who's wide open. He's the danger. Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more now. Like, the goalies are so quick and they read the game so quick that I think that's why we're probably seeing that trend.
As speaking of goalie coaches, I back many moons ago, when I was playing in the leagues that I was playing in growing up, I had this one coach. He came up to me and goes, "What are you thinking about when you're making a save?" He tosses the puck in the net and he goes, "Don't think." and I look at him. I'm like, he picks up the puck again and he goes, "Tell me what you're thinking about when you're making the save." And I go to tell him, he's like, "The puck's already in the net." And it didn't dawn on me at first, but I was like, oh my God, by the time you get done thinking, the puck's already past you. Yeah. So just react and then think about it later. So
I think a lot of it is now picked up in training. Like I don't think they're thinking in the game as such, but they work on these things so much now in games and the rise in like the VR stuff for like Sense Arena and stuff like that. Like they're able to really dial in and train these techniques and tactics in training and identifying those trends that in a game, it's just instinct. Because like for me, like you as a goalie, right?
Yeah.
You make a catcher save. Do you ever think I'm tracking the puck. I move my hand to here and I catch. You never do. It's just instinct. It's all your subconscious. So it's that training that you train consciously to make good decisions. And I always say to the goalies I work with, like, people, they look at me like I'm crazy, but sometimes I genuinely don't care if the puck goes in the net in training. I genuinely don't care. It's all about making good conscious decisions now. That will go into your subconscious. So in a game, it just happens on instinct.
Exactly.
And that's sorry, Carol.
Oh, and that's like, even when I was helping out over there, it's like when a puck goes past you, I'd tell the guys, I'm like, or the little guys, I'd be like, listen, the puck's already past you.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it right now. It's already past you. The next thing you can do is just move on to the next shot and think about, or not think about, but react to what's going to happen in front of you. Because the past is the past. The point's already up on the board.
Yeah.
Just move forward with it.
Yeah. You can't change it. Once it's in it, you can't change it. Like I'm not a big fan of the goalie waving his arms and jumping up and down at the referee. Cause I always think he's given it. Like, he's not changing his mind. All you're doing is losing focus here. So just get back in the net, refocus and go again. And to be fair, like, none of the goalies that I've worked with seem to have that tendency, which is great because it would drive me insane.
I've had to mature over the years. I used to flip out. I used to rage. I'm sure if you talk with some of the guys over there in the adult league at the rink that used to play with me, I'd lose it.
I think I used to be like that when I was younger. And then I don't know whether it was the time at the game that made me just mellow a little bit. It's like, you know what? I'm just happy to be out here playing. So, if it goes in, it goes in, and I'll just get ready for the next one.
The older you get, the less injuries that you get, the happier you are. It's like, I mean, I'll be pushing 40 in the next couple of months. And if I get back out there, I swear to God, it's probably going to be like a slug at first, but then it's going to slowly.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you don't look a day over 39.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. It's called that single man's life. So, and on that, with all the goalie stuff that we've been talking about, you have a goalie school. I'm not sure if I put that later on down in the, I don't think, oh yeah, I did. But anyway, we'll jump right to it.
That's fine.
But with all the experience that you had, whatever brought you to the point of, maybe I should start a goalie school. Was it your own influence or was it someone else behind you pushing you?
a bit of both, I guess. So I was the goalie coach for the England junior program. So I was doing England 13s, 14s, 15s, and doing a lot of stuff with them and stuff like that. And I was only really being able to see the kids every like four times a year for a day. And they got coaching, but it wasn't like on a regular occurrence. And at the time, there wasn't really a lot of goalie schools in the country. Like, I think the last one was Joe Watkins, and it shut down, and there wasn't really anything going on. And Ben Clements, one of my good friends, was kept telling me, just do your own school, do your own school. But I was working for I was working for David Clark at his camps, which I still do. And I was like, you know, I'm just happy doing that. And he's like, no, do it. Okay, fine. And I was petrified. It was going to like, okay, how much is this going to cost me if it doesn't go well? And it sold out in like a day. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And it basically grew from there. So yeah, I think last year we obviously had to alter the way we did them because of COVID, obviously. Yeah. And I think last year we had 112 goalies come through the camps.
Oh, wow.
Nearly 200 hours of ice, which is really good for them. And this summer we're going to be doing 5 in the south, 1 in the north, 1 in Scotland, taking it basically around the country to try and get as many goalies as we can at the camps. Because as I said earlier, like, goalie coaching isn't that big a thing here now. It's now growing, which is great. We're now seeing more and more goalie coaches. And it's funny, like, you could look at it like a business, as in like, oh no, I want to protect my business.
Yep.
But I don't look at it that way. At my camps, like, if a coach wants to come along and wants to come and see what we're doing, absolutely come along. Like, this summer we had 5 coaches who reached out and said, look, would it be okay if I came and sat in and come on the ice and see what you're doing? Yeah, absolutely. Come and see it. Because I want to see more goalie coaches out there. That's what I'm passionate about, right? So if I can help other coaches progress, then great. And then I guess in the summer, we launched the Academy, which is basically an online goalie school as such. So they get monthly webinars, they get monthly Zoom calls, like one-to-ones, video reviews, strength and conditioning programs by Stuart Edwards, Staffy.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Staffy does all my S&C programs for these kids. So they've basically got like a complete package that they can tap into regular basis. So that's pretty cool. Like, we've had some pretty cool guests come on and do some webinars for us as well. So it's another way for us to stay in contact with the goalies when we're not seeing them on a regular basis. And also there's not that many goalie coaches. So if people that don't have goalie coaches, they can tap into this and send in videos and we'll review them, break them down, send them back. So yeah, it's a pretty full on job at times. But it doesn't feel like a job. It's what I love doing. So, I had this office built in my garage for having to work from home because of obviously lockdowns and restrictions, but I probably do more hockey work in here than I do anything else.
You know, I 100% understand the feeling. It's like, I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I'm a podcaster on hockey, but I also work between 38 to 40 hours a week at my regular job. I work out at least 5 days a week. I usually procrastinate to gather all my information. That's kind of what I'm doing today after this, is procrastinating to get everything out so I can have it ready for Sunday. But, and then a lot of social media on the pages is pretty much done whenever I get the chance. So it's like going from one thing to another thing to another thing. And a lot of people don't understand that podcasting is like having another job.
Yeah.
We just don't get paid for it.
But it's your passion, right?
Exactly.
You love doing it. So it doesn't feel like work.
Exactly.
And it's like, before this, actually, I did 2 Academy one-to-ones. And it's great because it's just me and the goalie. And we have kids on the Academy who are as young as 8 and as old as 27. And we sit and we talk hockey and we go through video clips and we go through like game situational stuff. And we literally talk hockey, and they're only meant to last about, I think it's half an hour they're meant to last. Yeah. But literally everyone lasts an hour because... Yep. They're probably bored of me talking by the internet. Like, can we go? I've got to go and watch EastEnders or something. Like, I'm starting to wonder if there's a cardboard cutout there and I'm just talking to a cardboard cutout.
It's like I tell people, and I think I told you, it's like going down to your local pub or bar and just like grabbing a few pints, drinking beer, and shooting the crap about hockey. It's like, and that's all I want it to be like, is that kind of atmosphere. And I think I've provided that for a lot of people, where it's not so much an interview as it is two guys chat. And I also did interview with Jody Bloom and Saffron Allen, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just want you ladies to feel comfortable. We're at the bar doing our thing. And so.
No, they're two really, really great women hockey players. No, just great hockey players. Yeah. I'm going to remove the women. Like, and they're good role models for the women's game. They're two really good people.
Exactly. And they're knowledgeable too about the sport too.
So. 100%.
And on that, with all the hockey stuff we've been talking about, most of the time goalies just don't become goalies because, hey, it looks cool. It's more of a challenge. Who are some of your role models or heroes in the game? Especially growing up in the UK, where hockey isn't like the top tier sport versus like cricket or rugby or footy.
Yeah. Kind of deal. I guess obviously my dad was a player. So he was playing in Bracknell at the time, and there was a goalie there called Dave Langford. I must have only been about 4 or 5, maybe. And after the games, they were sponsored by an Italian restaurant. We used to go to this Italian restaurant after every home game. And Dave Langford gave me a broken goalie stick. And no idea why, but at that point, I was like, I'm going to be a goalie. And that it was literally something as simple as that. He gave me a broken goalie stick. And it was like, I'm going to be a goalie now. And I did. My little brother was, because he liked the kit. That's why, genuinely why he went. Like, growing up, like, Stephen Lyle, Stephen Foster. I used to go to Stephen Foster's goalie schools every summer. Fozzie was someone I really looked up to. Stevie Lyle was unbelievable goalie. Joe Watkins, Stephen Wall. It's funny because Wally was my goalie coach when I was younger up at Stephen Foster's goalie school, and then I played with him. And Wally was great. Wally was someone that really taught me how to handle the puck properly, and his puck handling skills were phenomenal, way ahead of the game here. But then I guess guys like Mark Cavillin, who played in London and Nottingham, he was someone that I used to like watching. Trevor Robbins, who's in Nottingham as well. And I guess NHL wise, like, I was a big Patrick Waugh fan. I used to collect Patrick Waugh hockey cards. I used to cost my mom and dad a fortune by going to buy packs of hockey cards and then going, there's no Patrick Waughs in there, I need another one. if there's ever a debate, it's Patrick Waugh number one,
yeah,
then Hasek, and then Brodeur. That's my number three. That's my top three.
What about Richter? I mean,
hang on one second.
There we go. Yeah,
my signed Mike Richter picture. It's up here with my signed Patrick Waugh.
God, yeah, those are some great goalies. I mean, and they were all stand-up goalies too.
Yeah, you know what? I remember the 2002 Salt Lake City final with Richter, and I was so cheering for him because Brodeur was at the other end and Rawal wasn't playing. And I remember thinking, like, oh no, it's got to be, I want Richter to win, but obviously he never. But yeah, like, that was a really good era for goalies now when you actually look back on it.
Yeah. And then I mean, all of them are great goalies, but the one that really sticks out that you said is Hasek. I mean, he's the one that I think he was a mixture of what goalies used to be to what goalies are now.
Yes.
With the hybrid system and the butterfly system, and because Hasek never had a system, so I think a lot of the hybrids brought a little bit of him into the new style. So
it's funny you say that about like his system, because Jim coached him in Buffalo, and Jim tells a fantastic story about when he got hired in Buffalo, and Hasek had just won the Vezina. And he'd come home to his family and they're like, what are you gonna teach him? He's like, I'm gonna ask him if he wants milk and sugar in his coffee. Like he tells it better than me, but he explained to me that all this time where Hasek used to like throw his stick and put his hand back to the glove, to the post.
Yeah.
If you actually slow down the videos, it was all actually intentional. He used to evaluate the way the player was coming in and how they would have to reach. And he would basically get in a position that the player couldn't lift the puck. All they could do was put it along the ice. So he'd then get his hand to the post to cover it. Yeah. Like, I think he was, like you said, I think he was way ahead of the game. Like, his creativity was unbelievable. Yeah. Problem is, I'm just a big Patrick Roy fanboy. So he's never going to be Patrick.
Yeah. Technically, I should have been a Canadiens fan, especially where I grew up in upstate New York along the St. Lawrence River, 90 miles south of Montreal. But then I had an awakening and I had a family member buy me a New York Rangers coat for Christmas one year. And I just went straight Rangers all the way. So
I'm with you there. I'm the Rangers.
It was a good year in 92, 93. And then 94. And then we just went all the way up to what? 2014, 2015 and shit the bed against LA. Just, 14, 15, just shit the bed. So,
to be fair, Lundqvist can carry the team much further. He'd done a lot of heavy lifting in those playoffs.
Oh God, yeah, the 15 years that he was there, God, yeah, he did.
He was my favorite, modern goalie is Lundqvist. I just love the way he played. Like, yeah. There was nothing you couldn't like about Lundqvist. He sang in a band with John McEnroe. He played for New York Rangers. He looked like a model. Like, you just look at him and think, Jesus.
Yeah. The next one for me was Jonathan Quick for a while. I love watching Jonathan Quick until he gets injured every year for the last 5 or 6 years. He looks good up until that first injury, and you're like, shit.
I quite like watching Mackenzie Blackwood at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I like his game. I like the way he plays.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, God. He is. He is phenomenal. I mean – he's done in the last two games after the CV-19 release of them being able to come back, just absolutely. And it had to step in because Crawford retires. I mean, that's just,
yeah,
that is all mental right there. So
yeah, I like him.
So let me see, where are we? So you named off a bunch of goalies that you idolized in the NHL and then also ones that you looked up to over in the UK. Who'd you model your game after? Like, who'd you style, your style and everything, who did, or was it a combination?
Jacques Plante?
even without the mask?
Yeah, with or without, it didn't really matter. I don't really know, to be fair. I'd say I was a small goalie, so I couldn't play that full butterfly style. I couldn't. Yeah. It was impossible for me. So I guess although he's massive, like the way Lundqvist played a little bit, but with more depth. Because I couldn't afford to sit there, but I wasn't like everything was a butterfly. I would use different techniques and stuff like that. And I guess that's probably the closest you could say, which is I was quite intense at times, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, star-wise, I'd probably say that's maybe the closest. I didn't really try and model my game on anybody, really. I just tried to stop the puck sometimes. And if I did, I was happy. And if it didn't, I went, oh, well, I'll try and get the next one.
I think for myself, the combination of watching Eddie Belfour play and Ronnie Hextall, growing up with those guys and, well, not with them, but watching them on the ice and the mixture of Richter, because that's who I model my number after. I always had a thing for the Rangers and Richter as a goalie. So that's why I'm number 35. But the more the years went by, I think the combination of like seeing the hybrid goalies, I think I started modeling or attempting to model myself after Lundqvist, but at the same time had the aggression of Eddie Belfour or Ron Hextall. So, I mean, just prime example, I remember playing on the Peterborough ice and Coventry always had interesting characters. We'll go that with their adult leagues. So one kid got a little too close to my crease. I hooked him. He fell into the boards. His teammate comes up to me, starts jabbing off at me. I'm like, all right, let's do this. He skates away. Later on, comes back. I go to cover the puck. He comes up behind me, cross-checks me, and I'm like, oh, hell no. So I try to fish hook him. Missed him. Dropped my gloves, dropped my stick, flipped my helmet, started going after him. And their teammate put the puck in the net. And as soon as that happened, the ref goes, good goal. I turned my attention on the player to the ref. And I'm like,
So basically you're saying you modeled your game on Hammerhand off Slapshot.
Yes. Hammerhand, your wife's a lesbian. I know. Anyway. But yeah, combination of that too. We're coming up close to the end, and I'm going to give you probably two really tough questions.
Okay.
Do you want the hardest of the hardest first, or do you just want the hard one?
Most questions are hard for me anyway. I've got too many pucks to the head, so I'll let you decide.
All right. So what was some of your funnest times, either with the boys after a game, coaching, or just everyday life being around this sport? That's not the hardest question.
Funnest times? Anytime we got to win was always fun. I was lucky enough to win quite a few trophies over the time, and anytime you got to share that with everybody was pretty incredible. That was a lot of fun. Like trips, when I was playing for Great Britain as a junior, like the trips away, that was a lot of fun. Just you live together for 10 days, you're playing cards, you're in each other's room and stuff like that. But like, now, like coaching wise, we took the England program to Czech Republic about 4 or 5 years ago, and we were out there for about 10 days, I think it was, and on the ice every day playing games and stuff like that, and seeing how much those kids develop and grow over that tournament and the process out there. It's not quite as fun as winning a trophy with your teammates and celebrating, but the satisfaction of seeing them grow is not just athletes but as humans is pretty special. That's kind of hard to top, I think.
Kind of like being a parent without being a parent. It's like, oh my god, I taught him that, I did that.
Pretty good. I'm pretty sure if anyone watches, no one ever like play a cam me during a game, because if a goalie does something that we've worked on and it works, you will see me like jump out my seat or something, and people like Staffy's always like, what are you doing? I'm like, we did that last week. We did that. I said, well, you're an idiot.
So you're kind of like that woo girl, like, woo!
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. Just like, oh, yeah, we did that. We did that perfect. Like, it's just a little relief. Like, okay, it worked. It worked. Yep.
Exactly. So this is going to take you probably a minute. Because of all the years that you've played and all the memories that you have. And this question does stump a lot of people. If you had to choose one thing that would highlight your career as a pro hockey player out of all the accomplishments that you have had, whether individual or with a team, what would your Stanley Cup frozen in time moment be that you would hang up on the wall and later on in life, 10, 15 years from now, you turn around and point to the kids or the grandkids, et cetera, and be like, that solidates my hockey career.
Yeah, that is a tough one. That is a tough, tough one. There's been so many. Just trying to think which one was probably the sweetest.
And this is why it gets everybody, because you can't pick just one, but if you had to pick.
Yeah. That's a nightmare question, that one. we'll go with that year I came back to playing, winning the league with Chelmsford. Probably that, because I obviously hadn't played for 3 years or 3 years, I think it was. Got released midway through the season because of money troubles, ended up on a team that was unbelievable. And I got to go in there and we won the league pretty, I think it was about my 10th game in. So that was a bit like vindication for coming back and obviously what happened with being released and everything like that. And I guess the being able to prove to myself, like, you know what? Yeah, I can still do this if I want to. So yeah, I'd probably say that was pretty sweet. And then winning the three other trophies in the next month was pretty much the cherry on the cake there. But yeah, I'd probably say that is probably the biggest one, because to be perfectly honest, when I went back to playing, I'm like, I don't know how long I'm going to last at this. Like, I haven't played for 3 years. The game's changed so much. Like, yeah. I've done nothing for 3 years. I've had knee surgery. Like, and it went quite well. So, yeah, I'd probably say that.
All right. So before we end this, what is some encouragement that you can give for both boys, girls, men, women that want to try playing goalie, or something to let them know that, you know, just because you have a rough day, a rough game, because we all, as goalies, we all have that. What's some words of encouragement to tell them to keep on pressing on?
Well, my slogan for my camps, my academies, is take control of your development. And by that, I mean is coaches can give you as much information as they can and help you as much as they can. Parents can too. But ultimately it comes back to you. It's you that has to do it. It's you that has to put in those extra hours in the gym. It's you that has to do your eye hand coordination, has to learn the game, like by watching and stuff like that. So maybe it's not quite encouragement, but it's ultimately you get out of the sport what you put into it. And it's the whole Eric Lindros saying, isn't it, right? Like, someone out there is working harder than you, and one day you'll meet them and they'll beat you. You don't want to be that person. You want to be the person that's out there grinding and doing all they can. Like, lockdown's hard, rinks are shut and stuff like that. But there's still stuff you can be doing.
Yeah.
And you got two choices. You either sit back and go, I'll wait, or you go, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make myself the best athlete I can. So when I hit the ice, I'm ahead of everybody. So yeah, take control of your development.
Exactly. It's like when I'm at the gym, funny that you should mention that, because I'm going to be, if you're still listening, people, I'm going to be bringing up a very great promo code from one of our sponsors here in a little bit. But I enjoy listening to like motivational stuff when I'm at the gym. And one of the motivational speeches, it's saying, if your opponent wakes up at 5, you wake up at 4. If your opponent's going to do 11 pushups, you do 12 pushups, and so on and so forth. It's always like, make sure you're that one step ahead of them. So when time does come to it, you've already done what you could to do to train better than that person that's trying to take your spot. I also know a couple of talking with a few people, it's like, if you're a backup goalie, be the best backup goalie on the ice during training, because when you're a starter, you know you're starting. It's already in your head. But when you're that goalie on the bench, not only do you have to be prepared to start, but you got to be mentally prepared and physically prepared, because you never know when that moment's going to be where they're going to call your name to be like, hey, look. And most of the time in the situation, it's you're already down by like 3-4 goals. And now you have to sit there and either talk yourself into, I'm not going to allow anymore, or B, this is going to fall on me one way or another. So,
yeah. You know, but backup goalie is the hardest position, I think, because you have to stay on late in training to help the shooters with their one timers and stuff like that. You're probably going to be in net for the majority of the 5-on-3s because the starter is not risking pulling his groin.
Yep.
You have to take the headshots in warm up. You have to be a cheerleader on the bench and be the positive guy in the room. But then you might get thrown in at any point during a game and you've got to somehow switch your mentality to go again. So it's one of the hardest jobs in the game for me.
And, you know, that's going to roll in to looking pretty for closing out this. You know why? Because as it has on your hat, Ewan, and good buddies of ours over in Bracknell, UK, if you're looking for that hockey swagger, even if you're backup goalie and want to look pretty on the bench, Make sure you check out Forecheck Clothing at www.forecheck.co.uk. You can also find them on the internet or on Instagram at Forecheck_clothing. You can find them on Facebook at Forecheck Clothing. And also, as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to gym stuff and you're looking for some new clothing, pre-workout, post-workout, in between workout and other diet supplements, make sure you check out eFlow Nutrition. You can find them at www.eflownutrition.com. You can also find them on the social media pages. Just type in on Instagram, Facebook, as well as, did I say Twitter? I think I said Twitter. If not, Twitter. You can find them just by searching in their name. They're all over the place out there. And when you go to order, make sure you use the promo code WTP!2021. It'll give you some great savings on your orders. And as for us, you can find us on Instagram at whatthepuck_podcast. You can find us on Twitter at whatthepuckpod1. Then you can also find us on Facebook at whatthepuck by Game On, a sports podcast for everyone, or WTP Game On Sports Podcast. Again, I want to say many thanks to Ewan King. If you're over in the UK and you're a goalie, make sure you check him out at Ewan King's Elite?
King's Elite Goaltending.
You can find them just typing in the Google search. I know we all know how to use Google nowadays, anywhere from 5 years old all the way up to my grandma's age. So is there any other websites you want to throw out there, Ewan?
No, one thing just on Forecheck, actually. I've been helping Paul out recently with some pretty cool things they've got coming for goalies, and they're being used by a few goalies in the streaming series, and it's like testers. So I'm quite excited for what they've got coming, and I think it's really going to help a lot of goalies. So yeah, definitely check them out.
And I can't wait till they send me a pair, if you guys are listening. So until next time, this is Jeff at What the Puck, brought to you by Game On, a sports podcast for everyone, with his episode of Hockey Tea Time Chat with Ewan King. Also, make sure if you find Ewan King on social media anywhere, congratulate him on his official position with Team GB Ice Hockey Goalie Coach. Until next time, this is Jeff.